Rabbi Beryl Wein is a historian, a teacher of Torah, a lawyer, a columnist, and a popular Jerusalem lecturer. In the program Wein Online, he talks about the meaning of the Torah portion of the week. We're back with Rabbi Beryl Wein. Rabbi, what is the parsha this week?
Elliot, the parsha is Ki Tisa, and this parsha is a very important parsha because it deals with the golden calf, with the Egel Azav, with the precipitous decline of the Jewish people in a very short period of time from Sinai.
Now, it's when you talk about the golden calf. Now, you just give me some sort of chronology. When did the Jews receive the Torah on Har Sinai?
On the sixth or seventh day of Sivan, depending which opinion in the Talmud we accept.
And when did they build the golden calf?
And the golden calf already. It was built in the 40-day period that Moses ascended to Sinai. So at the end of 40 days, Moses hadn't come down yet. And then they said, well, you know, the Jewish people were yuckers, you know. I mean, he can't afford to be late. So he's probably not coming down. And if he's not coming down, then we need something.
So it's a case of basically saying to God, what have you done for us lately?
That's right. Well, so that's in the nature of this. That's a very important point that you make. The nature of the entire story is that somehow within the psyche of people, it is extremely easy to slip on the banana peel and fall. And that you can reach, I'm talking spiritually. It's certainly easy to do that physically, but spiritually as well. And here you're talking about people that were exalted, that had crowns on their head, that saw angels, saw the revelation at Sinai, the Red Sea split for them. Everything happens, Elliot. And all of a sudden, you know, Moshe's 20 minutes late. Well, that's it, you know. Forget the whole thing. We're going to have a golden calf. We're going to be just like everyone else. So I think there are three important points here that the golden calf teaches us. First of all, the influence of society. You live in a pagan world. Paganism is always just around the corner. Just like in the world that we live in. So the postmodern values which exist and the licentiousness which exists in society and etc., it's always around the corner. It's right here. It's in the synagogue with us. It's in our homes. You cannot, you know, this is a wonderful studio and everything is soundproofed. Nothing can get in. But ideas and society get in no matter what. That's one idea. So you always have to drive defensively because it can happen. Everything can happen to you. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that the Jewish people can't be without religion. Now, religion can be Marxism. Religion can be whatever you want it to be. But they can't be without anything. The famous statement of the Rebbe of Berditchev, Reb Levi Yitzchak, he said, you can be for God, you can be against God, but you can't be without God. Mm. And that pretty much sums up all of Jewish history and all of Jewish life. Jewish people, by its very nature, the Jewish people crave some sort of faith, some sort of belief. So if Moshe is late, then that faith didn't work, so let's have another one, right? So we're going to switch, we're going to do... and that's part of the search that we see within the Jewish people today, is to try and find something to hold on to. Unfortunately, most people have lost their roots, they've lost their tradition, so they don't know where to go. But it's no accident that Jews are disproportionate in Hare Krishna, or Jews are disproportionate in the Eastern religions. Why? The answer is because you can't be without something. And since they have no basis in their own faith, so then they go searching. That's part of the idea of the golden calf. And the third thing that we see is that the golden calf was impetus for it was provided by the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav was a group of people that came out of Egypt with the Jews who were not Jews and didn't intend to be Jews, but they used the situation to get out of Egypt. Much as in our time, hundreds of thousands of Russian Christians used the situation to come to the land of Israel with the great Russian Aliyah of the Jews, because this was a way, you know, it's a great, so you know how the biblical story repeats itself. So then the question is, what do you do with this group? Because if you don't do something with them, you're going to end up with a golden calf. You're going to end up with problems. So then you have to treat the problem. Whether it's treated in conversion, whether it's treated in assimilation in Israeli society generally, I think the best way to treat it is to keep them as good Christians.
Those who are Christians.
Those who are Christians. Right. Well, the majority are Russian Orthodox Christians. Right. And if you keep them as good Christians, so then the lines are, there's a lot of room for Christians to live in the land of Israel, just there's a lot of room for Muslims to live in the land of Israel. But there is no room for people who pretend that they're Jewish and they're not Jewish, and then somehow they subvert the values of Judaism, and they're always ready to create a golden calf.
Let me just take you back very quickly to the idea, though, not of these people, but of the people who embraced God fully for that moment that he gave the Ten Commandments on Har Sinai, on Mount Sinai. But it's these people who so quickly, as you say, slipped on the banana peel. What do people do to discipline themselves so that they don't slip?
Education, knowledge. The Jewish people are raw. They're coming out of Egypt. They're people of slaves. They're, to a great extent, unlettered. To be a Jew, you have to be sophisticated. It requires a great amount of sophistication to really be a good Jew, and I'm not saying that lightly. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to balance opposites. The whole idea of Judaism is to reconcile all the opposites that exist within us and within the world, and to find the fine line that's the balance between the two. Here are people who are not equipped for that. And Moshe can go up to heaven. Moshe doesn't have to eat or drink anymore, even. He's all spirit, right? Mm-hmm. But they are all earth. And therefore, without the strong preparation of an education, of a sophistication, of a tradition, of parents, it's very hard to maintain oneself, especially when the pressure of society is so pronounced against Jewish values. So that's why they fell into paganism, because they live in the pagan society. And they did not have the strength, the inner strength. Now, it would take them 40 years in the desert. So you have to look at the 40 years in the desert. You know, God took them to school. Mm-hmm. The desert is the school. So you don't have to make a living. You don't have to do anything. But what you have to do is become Jewish. Only after, and that generation didn't make it, because they only became Jewish enough, but they couldn't come to the land of Israel. But their children came who were educated, so to speak, in that hothouse. And then you could let them loose. And then we also have a period of 300-400 years during the time of before the first temple, where it always is wavering between paganism and Judaism. It takes a long time to develop. And I think when we look at the state of Israel as well, it's going to take a long time to develop. We're very young, you know, 50-some years, you know, that's a blink of an eye in history. So in our lives, it's most of our lives, but in history, it's a short period of time. It's going to take education, and a lot of education, and a lot of example, and a lot of goodness to be able to do it.
So as the journey continues, the education continues.
So correct.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Wein. We'll see you next week. You've been listening to Rabbi Beryl Wein talking about the Torah portion of the week. Join us again next week.